I've got some questions for you. I want you guys to think here. Do you live your life as if what other people think matters more than what you think? Do you live your life as a people pleaser or as if you can mold yourself to be anything that anyone wants you to be? Does this make sense to you? Maybe it makes sense about somebody that you know. This is a very big addiction. It's called codependency. And the good news is there's a very simple way out of it, and it's called detachment. A good way to remember this is detachment is the opposite of dependent. Okay, maybe that's not so easy, but if you think about it, detachment is the opposite of dependency. And thank God, joining me is an expert on this topic, Karen Casey. She's the author of over 19 books. Among them, her latest book is called Codependence, The Power of Detachment. Welcome to the show, or welcome back to the show, Karen. Thanks for joining me again.
Hi, Lisa. It's so nice to be back.
Yeah, I like
that. I had to laugh at your limp mic. I was visualizing that and thinking, oh, yeah, now I wonder. Like, what does that mean?
What does that mean in my life? I think it means my microphone needs Viagra. That's what it means.
Yeah, right. You know, the mission of your show is wonderful. You know, I was listening to the whole introduction, and it's really a pleasure to be a part of your show.
Wow, thank you, Karen. I listened to that as well, and it, you know what? That for me is like an anchor. It just grounds me right into the moment, the present time, and hooks me into purpose. Thanks for saying that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So to codependency, I remember reading a lot of books on codependency when I was, in college, realizing, oh my God, I'm codependent in relationships. But it still exists in a huge way.
It does. You know, I think that it's a very, very difficult syndrome that affects so many of us, not just women, but men too, and unfortunately even children. I mean, we kind of grow up measuring ourselves against how others seem to be responding to us. And I think that that's probably the first real glimmering when somebody becomes aware.
But where's that come from? Where's that stem from, where we're constantly doing that?
You know, I think that it probably stems from that inner sense of simply not being enough all by ourselves.
That
gets maybe fed by our family of origin, and not ever intentionally, probably. But, you know, I grew up certainly in a household where my mother was always saying, well, what will others think? You know, you can't do that. What will others think? And so it was kind of at an unconscious level, and because probably that's how she was raised, it was just ground into me that my behavior was really needed to be a reflection of those around me. And then it kind of translated from that into how others around me were responding to me is what gave me all kinds of information about whether or not I was worthy or valuable. And so the two things are kind of flip sides of the same coin. And pretty soon, we don't know who we are. We're kind of empty shells trying to be whatever somebody in our life thinks we ought to be.
You know, I had a guest on once, and I can't remember his name, but he talked about that initial time where the child looks at the mother, and the mother has that look of detachment where she gets distracted or the phone is more important or something else is more important, and the child registers that, gets that imprint of, I'm not good enough. And because it seems to be a common denominator in the psyche, if you will. And I'm talking universally. Other people, you know, it just doesn't apply to everyone. But this one guest, and I can't remember who said this to me, is a very famous author. But he said it's the imprint of the detachment right when the child looks at the mother and looks at that look of detachment, it registers in an imprint into the psyche of the child's mind.
Right.
I'm not good enough. The phone is better than me, or I'm not good enough. The coffee cup is better. I mean, it's a part of the normal human psyche.
Right.
Is what I'm getting to.
But the question then, too, that raises is, why is it that some children seem to be so resilient and that doesn't seem to affect them, while it does others to a great degree? I mean, I don't believe that everybody in our culture is codependent. I do believe that it is is rampant, but I don't believe everybody is. So when some of us who are raised in families where people are distracted and don't pay us a lot of attention, it doesn't necessarily define that child, but it does many of us. So what the difference is, I don't really know.
Right. It was just a theory that he was talking about. But it does make sense that there are so many issues that go back to that I'm not good enough.
Exactly.
Issue. And so how do we, okay, so maybe this is an issue with a lot of people, and maybe it stems from childhood. Who knows? We really can't control that much of our environment. What do we do about it?
Well, you know, and I think that is the important question. We can't change what was, but we can say, okay, how can I do it differently now? How can I feel differently now? And I think that learning to live comfortably within our own skin is really what our opportunity is here. And I think that the best way for us to do that is to spend time with ourselves every day and to discover those things that actually do pleasure us and do more of that and realize that the more we are pleasured ourselves, whether it's by morning meditation, whether it's by reaching out to a friend and being helpful to a friend, whether it's by journaling, but doing those things that we know really matter to our own wholeness is one of the most healing things we can do. You know, I think that a lot of people are afraid that if they're helpful to others, that implies that they're codependent, and I don't agree with that. You know, I think that showing up in a helpful way to others is simply that, showing up in a helpful way to others. I think if we show up in others' lives at the expense of our own lives.
So give me some examples of codependency. What is it? How does it show up?
Well, one of the first awarenesses that I have, and perhaps this will help our listeners the most, one of the first awarenesses that I had was actually from a book that I was reading myself. And it was John Powell's Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? And he shares in that book a story about him walking down the New York City street with Sidney Harris, a journalist. And he and Harris were very good friends. And they made this trip down this same New York City street a lot of days. And always Harris bought a newspaper from the vendor, and the vendor was always really pretty rude and gruff. I don't want to say as New Yorkers are wont to be, but this vendor was always gruff and unfriendly, and Harris was always extremely kind to him and gave him a tip. And John Powell said it drove him crazy. And he finally said to Harris, "Why are you so nice to him? He's never nice to you in return." And he said, "Why should I let him decide what kind of a day I'm going to have?" And I realized when I read that, and I still realize, Lisa, the very moment that I read that. It was in the year 1971, and I don't know how long the book had been out, but I was using that as a text for a journal writing course at the University of Minnesota when I was in graduate school. And it was like light bulbs went off in my head. I thought, my God, I have spent my entire life from childhood until that age letting everybody else decide what kind of a day I was going to have. That was codependency. And it wasn't called codependency in that book. That was far earlier than that term had been coined. But I knew that my life had always been about dancing around the actions, the behavior, the responses of others. I had done it with my family. I had done it with my friends, with my high school boyfriend, with my first husband. However they looked at me defined how I felt about myself.
So it's going to this person and saying what they want to say or hear, and then going over to this person and then telling what they want to hear, and then this person and telling what they want to hear. But then you just completely lose yourself.
You don't have a self at all.
Right.
Absolutely, you have no self at all. And, you know, I think until I came into the rooms of Al-Anon, in 1974, actually, that was when I first got a glimmering of how much of what emptiness I had inside.
Well,
and how much my life had always been about other people.
The correlation that you make between codependency and addiction is very strong.
It is. And you know what, Al-Anon, and when you were asking me, or a comment that you had made reminded me of this, you know, to learn about detachment, the way I learned most about detaching from others and letting others have whatever their behavior was and to know that it wasn't about me came about simply by practice, by reminding myself in the presence of other people that what they're doing is about them. It doesn't mean I'm good or bad. What they're doing is about them. And I am, my goodness, I believe, is really assured by God, except that my behavior needs to match that goodness.
Well, it is a lot of work to try to cover your bases and your stories of trying to please all the people all the time.
Well, the burden is awful. I mean, trying to live that way is exhausting.
Right. It is exhausting. So you're saying a good way to catch yourself in the moment, if you feel that that's something that you're starting to do, where you're gossiping or you're trying to make yourself feel like you want to be accepted and you're, you know, caught yourself in a lie or whatnot, what you can do is remind yourself that you're perfectly fine the way that you are and you don't need to keep up with whoever it is you're speaking
right.
with in order to make yourself feel good.
All right. You know, and it's a great sense of empowerment to just step back and pause and say, I don't have to do this in order to be okay.
It is. That's great.
That is very, very empowering. You know, I think that, I mean, my journey has been in both Al-Anon and AA for, you know, many, many, many years now. And I really think that what I have learned over these nearly 35 years is that what it takes is daily practice to be assured of that daily reprieve that what others are doing is not in charge of who I am.
So you take charge of your own life and just let other people do what they're going to do, because you really can't take charge of anyone else's life, no, can you?
Exactly. And one of the books that I wrote about 3 years ago, published by Canary, was Change Your Mind and Your Life Will Follow.
I love that title.
Thank you. And you know, it really... many of the principles in that book relate to the same kinds of ideas around detachment. It's about the only thing I can certainly be certain of doing always is treating others with kindness and detaching from whatever their reaction might be. Just know that on my side of the street, I'm doing what I need to do. What other people are doing on their side of the street is really about them, and that I can lovingly detach from that. And you know what, codependence and the power of detachment, one of the core principles in this book is we really must allow other people to have whatever the journey is they're here to make. You know, I think from hearing you talk at the beginning of your show and the mission of your show, you know, we're really all here to live life as well as we can, to have a positive impact on the universe around us, but to allow everybody to have his or her own impact, and it's not up to us to try to control another person's impact.
And to discover your own truth within it.
Right.
But you know what? And I, by the way, I want to open up the phones here to callers. If you have a question about codependency, or if this is something that you're involved with in a codependent relationship and you need some help, give us a call, 818-985-KPFK. That's 818-985-5735. Karen Casey is my guest. We're talking about codependence and the power of detachment. I love that you offer the solution in the title. That works really well for me. I love that.
Yeah.
But let me ask you something about women relating to women. I was interviewing John Gray from the Mars Venus book, and
right.
He wrote a great new book about why Mars Venus collide. And he said that when women speak to women, oxytocin releases, and this feel good hormone gets all over your body, and it makes you feel really good to speak to women. Well, sometimes what women wind up doing is gossiping, and it releases a hormone that feels good, This is what happens on a biochemical basis. And he was talking about the fact that gossip, the female-to-female communication does not have to be gossip. And of course, it can be anything with sharing friends, laughter, stories, all that good stuff. But sometimes it tends to move into that. So how do you catch yourself in that moment of maybe you caught yourself and you're trying to make yourself feel good or look good and saying things that are not nice about other people? You know, what do you do?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't disagree with what he said. I had somebody tell me many years ago that gossip makes people draws people together in an intimate way. And that's an insidious thing, I think. And it's an unfortunate thing that women in particular, but men probably do it too. I mean, I don't think it's only women who.
No, but you see it happen. You see it happen quite often.
But you know, I guess each of us has to decide for themselves, is that the kind of intimacy I want with somebody else? And I know, and maybe it comes with age. But I know that level of intimacy, no matter how good it might feel in the moment to draw together with a woman in that form of connection, does not feel good almost immediately thereafter.
In the long,
that's
yeah.
A very short-term gratification that one might get from that. And it leaves a really dull, tarnished feeling inside. And I simply, from years of life on this planet, I guess, I don't want to do that. I mean, I've made different choices about how I want to live. And when I am in a setting where people begin to gossip, I don't end up saying, oh, you guys, you're terrible. You shouldn't do that. I get very quiet. And I maybe will say, if I say anything at all, and actually I shouldn't say if I say anything at all. Generally, I will say, well, you know, my perspective is simply different, and then I'll say nothing more, because I don't want to feed that. You know, I have this sense that whenever we feed anything negative, it gets bigger.
Yeah,
it grows larger.
That's a good point. Now let's talk a little bit about codependency, where it comes with family relationships, or in a marriage, or a mother-daughter relationship. I had understood the meaning of codependency a while ago being enmeshed in an unhealthy way. Is that what happens when you are related or married?
Well, I think that I don't think that it's any different, in the sense that the principle that I think we have to cultivate in ourselves, and we can cultivate it in a support group perhaps, or reading certain numbers of books. Maybe this book would help some readers, but I think that we have to cultivate the idea and stay committed to it on a daily basis. That to try to do somebody else's life, or to try to guide them too much, we can guide by suggestions or by example, but that's all. If we try to do more than that, we are really opting to live their life for them, preventing that person, whether it's a spouse or a child, preventing them to travel whatever path they're here to travel. I really think that we have a very divine journey each of us is on. And if we get over-involved in each other's journey, we really are preventing the kind of growth that somebody is here to have. And I think that it, again, like we were saying a few moments ago, it relieves each of us of a great burden to step back from that enmeshment. Enmeshment is trying to live two lives rather than one.
That's a good point. Okay, we're going to go to calls here. The phone number is 818-985-5735. If you have a question for my guest, Karen Casey, we're talking about codependence. I want to go to Kelly in Los Angeles. Hey, Kelly, do you have a question for Karen?
Yes, I have a question. I often have that feeling of not being good enough.
Uh-huh.
And I compare myself to others. And lately I've been comparing, well, not lately, for a while, I've been comparing myself to this person from my past who isn't even in my life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of this imaginary person now who I've elevated to be, like, better than me.
Wow.
And even if...
Good awareness, by the way.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And even if I achieve beyond my wildest dreams and, you know, in my value system, and they don't measure up to that, no matter what I do, they're still better than me.
Well, you know,
I wonder if that's my own like reaction, like my own safety mechanism, trying to keep myself one step ahead in case I ever run into them or in case I ever meet someone like that. Like, I have this fear of close relationships with other women.
Mm-hmm. No, you know what?
Competition in the past.
Kelly, you're talking probably for a lot of women. I'm really proud of you for even making this phone call. Thank you. And I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is that you, and I don't know if you're going to believe me when I say this, but you are good enough. Do you believe me when I say that?
Yeah, I don't.
You don't. Yeah. What do you, is it true though, that you really don't think that you're good enough? I mean, is that really true, Kelly? Are you really not good enough?
Well, I don't know what, compared to what, you know, like I don't. If I had clear standards for myself,
yeah, but
and if I really knew what I wanted, I guess I could say good enough. I mean, I don't really know what that is.
Well, do you feel that you're a good person?
Yes.
Okay.
But then I guess, well, in relation to what? I mean, compared to, let's say, Jesus, then I wouldn't be such a good person because, you know.
Well, that's a high standard, but do you do good things for yourself and for other people?
I do. I feel like I could do more.
Well, you sound like you are a good person to me, and you sound like you're good enough to me.
Kelly, can I make a suggestion? You know, first of all, I agree absolutely with Lisa. You are good enough. And one of the way, and for none of us, if we spend our time comparing ourselves to others, we're always going to think somebody else does something better than we do. So it's always a setup for never measuring up. So number one, stop doing that. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. You simply are the best you can be. You're all that you need to be. But number two, I would suggest that every day you write down at least two or three things at the end of the day that you did that you felt good about.
Well, first of all, this phone call, I know you're a good person, Kelly, because you got on the phone and you admitted something about yourself. You're introspective. You look inside yourself. I really don't think if you didn't care, you would even ever get on the phone and call a radio show and make this type of phone call. I know you're a good person, and I'm going to prove it to you.
I think that, you know, more than hearing that, just from, you know, listening to myself, I might need to just to look at myself more and think about what kind of person I want to be in the future and start working toward that.
Well, I was also going to say, why don't you look at yourself right now and be in present time right now? Because
that's really hard for me.
It's okay. It seems like a lot of what you're looking at is comparing yourself to someone in the past or thinking about where you're going to be in the future. What about just saying hello to where you are right now and knowing that right now is good enough, right now you're good enough, this
it's
moment
really
right here.
Scary for me to just be in this moment and think this is it.
But you are in this moment.
I know, but it's scary for me to be in it mentally and think that this is it because I don't feel happy.
I understand, and I understand exactly what you're talking about. But right here in this moment with you and I having a conversation, you looking at yourself and being introspective and learning and growing, how can that be bad? Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So right now in this moment right here at this very moment in time, everything is good. All is good. You are fine. You are safe. You're talking on the phone with us. You're on the radio. You're fine.
Right.
Everything right now is good enough.
And I think, too, that when you get off the phone, Kelly, begin that list. Write down the fact that you made this call and write down two more things about yourself today that you felt good about. Maybe it was smiling at somebody who was a stranger. You know, reaching out in any tiny way to any other person in your life today is really establishing for yourself and for others too the goodness of your heart. Sometimes we don't think about all the tiny little ways in which we are impacting others with the goodness of our own heart.
And by the way, Kelly, if you want to, you can email me those two things that you did today or the two things that Karen's talking about. So you have a friend. You can email them to me and I can talk back to you, too, because I want to support you, and I think that you're great. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
By the way, email lisa@theawareshow.com, okay?
Okay.
All right. You take care, and we're going to go back to the phones. Cheryl in Los Angeles. Cheryl, do you have a question for Karen Casey?
Yes, I was trying to find out, are there any local support groups?
For codependency?
Yes.
I'm sure, Karen. Do you know of any?
Well, I know that I really highly suggest the importance of Al-Anon for people. There are also Codependence Anonymous support groups. Both of those support groups deal with the issue of codependency and how to really cultivate detachment in our lives. Now, even though Al-Anon, they tell you in Al-Anon meetings, it's a support group primarily for members of families where alcoholism is present, that is not an absolute. You know, Al-Anon is really a program that will help anybody deal with any kind of issues that they have in their life. And I have gotten just tremendous help. I don't have any active alcoholism in my life and haven't for years and years and years. But I go to Al-Anon and have for many years because life is full of other people's places and things over which I wish sometimes I had control. And Al-Anon is all about not controlling others, being able to detach from what's going on and continue to feel okay about who I am.
Great. And okay. I wanted to, and thanks for that, by the way, I wanted to ask you, Karen, what do you mean when you say detachment? That doesn't mean that you don't love people, right? Or be their friends, right?
Right. It does not mean disinterest. It means walking side by side, but allowing the other person to have their own journey. It means being available to be helpful and kind and hopeful, to hold out hope for others, but not give a set of guidelines to another person and say, here's how you have to do your life.
Well, were we just being codependent with our last guest? I mean, with our last caller?
I think what we were doing with her was trying to walk side by side with her and saying to her, here are some things that you might try. I think that being helpful and kind is never codependent. It's when we say, here's what you really must do. You must do it my way in order for you to feel better. I think that we really, part of our role in this life is to help one another heal. And I don't believe that just being helpful to and in the healing process of others is codependent at all. I think we can do that in a loving, detached, meaning interested, not disinterested, but detached way in allowing, Kelly is going to do, she's going to do.
Okay.
The overly involved person would say, well, Kelly, you know, if you aren't going to do it my way, then just go away.
Got it.
What we were doing.
No, there's a call coming in just about that very thing. David in West Hollywood. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm enjoying the show today immensely.
Well, thank you.
My question is, if you follow this procedure, aren't you going to fall in the trap of excusing anything you do and not achieving anything, and that's all right?
Great question.
Okay.
Yes, great question.
And you go down the tubes.
Right. What do you think, Karen?
Now, would you say that again?
Feeling that what you're doing is okay and positive and being your own best friend, couldn't you fall into the trap of excusing behavior that's not good
Now I understand what you're asking.
Oh, that's okay. I didn't get what I wanted, but that's all right when it really isn't.
Yeah. I think that we don't want, it's not about accepting unacceptable behavior, but it's about saying, like one of the things we say in Al-Anon, David, is say what you mean what you say, but don't say it mean. It's making sure you're being true to yourself, that you're saying what you maybe need in a situation, but it's allowing then the other person to go ahead and if and do what they choose and know that you may need to simply disengage.
Give me an example of what you're talking about, David.
Well, I have a friend who will be late constantly, and he says, oh, that's just me. That's just the way. I cannot get there on time. That's just me. And he gives himself permission to, this is a simple
great. No,
no,
it's a good one.
That's great, David, because that's a great example, because it's really the principle here is what's important. And in a situation like that, and because I had a woman friend who was very much the same way, and I simply said to her, you know, Melanie, I'm not going to choose to put myself through this again. And, you know, I'm just going to take a little break.
Well, what I did was I told him to be somewhere a half hour earlier than what we were supposed to be there. And when he arrived, he was actually angry because he got there a half hour late. And then he said, I'm here on time. And I said, well, I just told you to be here a half hour early because I knew you were going to be this way. And he became very angry with me.
Well, you know, I think that personally, I think that some people will abuse us if we allow them to. And I guess I would say, for me, in an instance like that, I might just choose to distance myself out of respect for myself.
Yes.
From that person for a while.
And that is exactly what we're talking about here. And I think that was a great call. Thank you, David.
Well,
but that's along the same exact conversation as codependency. How much are you going to be codependent on friendships that you know are toxic? And I want to say thank you so much for joining me, Karen. You just a great conversation. We could have gone on a while on this one. We'll get to my next guest.
And can I just say what my website is?
Yes.
It's www.womens-spirituality.com.
And also we have your website at theawareshow.com. So if people are just driving, they can go to theawareshow.com. On the homepage there is Karen Casey's name. And if you just click on it, then her website. So you can also listen to the show today for free. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Lisa.
We will
this is great fun.
Thank you very much. We will be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to The Aware Show.